Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, spend a little time talking about the Holy Trinity.
Oh, well, my word.
Well, today, Brent, is the Feast of the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
We celebrate that in the church. And for some of the people there, they're thinking, oh, that's the day we do the really long creed, and it takes forever, the Athanasian Creed. And that's true. I know in my parish, we confess the Athanasian Creed on Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity, and these creeds, it is a confession of the one true God. And that's something that is sorely under attack in the world today, and yet... And we'll spend some time talking about those attacks, no doubt.
Yeah, it's nothing new, is it?
Right. But why does the church celebrate the Holy Trinity? Is it really important? And what do we mean by the Holy Trinity?
Well, triune. The Latin, triune. Tri meaning three, una meaning one, three in one. Or one in three. It's reversible.
Yeah.
God, three persons.
Okay. And this is the God who is... confessed, revealed, dare I say, given?
Oh, absolutely.
In Holy Scripture?
Absolutely. God gives himself entirely to us through his word, and especially through the name. You know, Matthew 28, Jesus, after he is risen from the dead, and right before he ascends, he gives what is normally called the Great Commission. And of course, the Great Commission is that you make disciples. How do you do it? Well, you baptize in the name, not names. This is very important, name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Name, one. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
So you're baptized in that name, and then you're taught that name.
Yeah, that's right. And what's very important in Scripture is that God is always there with his name. In other words, where God puts his name, there he is. So in holy baptism... This is an amazing thing, you know, when you talk about the Holy Trinity, is when you're baptized in the name of the triune God, he's there actually doing it, because he's there with his name. The Father speaks his word of approval over you like he did his son Jesus in the Jordan River. Oh, I'm delighted with you. Why? Because my son Jesus died for you, and then you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism as well. You know, Acts 2, 38 and 39 teaches this, and Titus 3 teaches it, and elsewhere. So yeah, baptized in the triune name. God's there with his name. And when you're baptized in God's name, you're baptized by God himself, the triune God. Now, here I go again, but I have to do it. This is not negotiable. In other words, it's not up for grabs how we talk about God.
We can't adapt it to our own settings?
No.
Is that a temptation to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And maybe one of the greatest manifestations of that, and you hear this within Christendom, is when there's just this generic reference to God and Lord. But never this Trinitarian type language, is it?
Well, yeah, this... we live... the Christian church always lives militantly. That is to say, she lives always under the cross and under attack by the world, the devil, and our own sinful nature. And so what we have now, what we have to fight against, and what we have to confess positively, what we fight against is this move to say, oh, we can't confess God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but now we have to confess God differently, namely mother, daughter, or whatever else. I'm serious about this. This is happening on both coasts of the United States and all throughout the world, especially in Europe, where there are, quote, baptisms being done, not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but in some other name. Now, if you don't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's no baptism. That's one thing. The other thing is you're no longer Christian. Let's be quite honest about this.
You don't belong to God. He has not given you himself.
Yes, yes. So one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is his name. If he doesn't give us his name, we can't talk to him. We can't address him. We can't have access to him. God gives us his name. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's from Jesus himself, Matthew 28, which I just referenced, which is the Holy Gospel for Trinity Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I repeat, one of the greatest gifts we are given is His name. So for example, let's pretend that you don't know who I am, and I'm walking down the street and you need my help, and you just say, hey, you.
Guy, hey, yeah.
I'll look at you and I'll say, I'm not getting close to a guy like him, and so I keep walking. However, if I come up to you and I introduce myself and I say, hello, my name is Brent Kuhlman. What did I just give you, Scott?
Access.
Well, I give you my what?
Well, your name.
Right. And
by which I now have access to you. So if you're passing by on the street and I call out, Brent Kuhlman, over here.
Then I recognize you and you have entree. You have access to me and I'll come and help you. So why is Holy Trinity Sunday so important? Well, it confesses who God is. He's one God. There's one God, but three persons. And so that's who He is. The other thing that's very important about it is what He does. And of course,
so it's not just a label,
right?
Something you stick on a person. There's actual action.
Oh yeah.
God's action.
Yeah. So for example, in the Small Catechism, you know, it gets summarized very succinctly in a childlike way, like a daddy would teach his son or daughter. You know, what does this mean, Daddy? And so it's boiled down very simply that God is the Creator, and He is the Redeemer, and He is the Sanctifier. And just simply for pedagogical reasons, you keep those three: as Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Spirit is the Sanctifier. Now that doesn't mean that they don't all participate in those things, but it's to keep it simple and short. Okay, so easily understood.
And so in the Small Catechism, which makes use of the Apostles' Creed, and we'll spend some time talking about the creeds, I think, but if you will, it's a fleshing out of what Jesus gives us here in Matthew 28. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, who is that Father and what does He do?
Right.
Who is that Son? What does He do? Who is that Holy Spirit? What does He do? And the creeds of the church put some flesh on those bones, if you will.
That's right. That's right. You'll notice that the Apostles' Creed was the baptismal creed. It flowed right out of Matthew 28. And so the Apostles' Creed then has three parts. And people learn this creed, which is the summary of Scripture. Again, just so that there's no misunderstanding, the creeds don't replace Holy Scripture.
No.
They simply confess the truth of Holy Scripture in a very succinct way. So that, okay, this is what the Scripture's all about. It's about the one true God who's three persons, who has created me, who has redeemed me, and who has sanctified me. One of the ways that the Reformation talked about this, and Dr. Luther wrote about this in 1528 when he thought he was going to die, and so he gave his theological last will and testament, which we call the Great Confession. He talks about the creed confessing God this way, and by doing so, God thus gives Himself to us sinners. Now, this just blows my mind. And so Holy Trinity Sunday, not just who He is, but what He does. The Father gives Himself completely and totally to us in creation. The Son gives Himself completely and totally to us in the work of redemption. And thus the Spirit, bringing us to Jesus and sanctifying us through the Word and the sacraments and the Church, He gives Himself entirely and completely to us. And that's a totally foreign way of thinking, I think, these days in the Christian Church, Scott. And what I mean, here's how most people talk. You need to give yourself to God.
It's upside down, isn't it?
Right. I got to repeat that. Test me out on this, folks. Listen to the sermons. Listen to how Christians talk. You need to give your life to God. That's not Christianity.
You are present to do something for God.
As if God needs something from you.
Rather than the God who is present and active for you.
As if God needs something from you. Boy, how important we are.
Oh, really?
Got news for you, folks. Christianity is as the creed confesses it from the Scriptures, that God, He does the verbs, and He comes down into our midst, and He gives Himself in creation and in creaturely gifts, such as the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who actually suffered and died and rose from the dead, who actually took our sins in His body for our salvation to redeem us from sin, death, and damnation. And then the Spirit using the creaturely gifts of spoken words, water, bread, wine, in a place called the church, Christ's body, to actually bring us to Christ. And then you can run the Articles of the Creed backward. You know, I've run it from first to third. Now we can run it from third to first. The Spirit brings us to Christ, shows us who the Savior is, namely Jesus. And once we know that, then we know the Father truly. First article.
So Brent, you're running the creed both ways, okay? So Father, from the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit, and then in the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. It sounds like respiration to me, this breathing in and breathing out. And so now I'm thinking the liturgy of the church.
Oh, yes. Have you ever noticed that when you go to church, how often the Trinity is confessed? Not just in the creed, but all throughout the liturgy.
So let's just maybe walk through that and give some examples. Now, the first example is right at the very beginning, the invocation, where we have these words from Matthew 28, don't we?
Yeah.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just a statement of who you are, that you are the baptized, but God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is present here and is giving himself to you here and now.
Yeah, that's Exodus 20:24. It's already in the Old Testament. Check it out, everybody. Exodus 20:24, where God says, where I cause my name to be remembered. Notice he does the verb there. Wherever I cause my name to be honored or remembered, I will come to you and I will bless you.
Well, and he does that again, I think, in 1 Kings 8 with the dedication of the temple, doesn't he? Where I cause my name to dwell, there I am to bless.
That's exactly right. And then Jesus comes. New Testament. Emmanuel, God with us. And in Matthew's gospel, that was Matthew 1, of course. Then in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then, of course, Matthew 28. Brilliant. Let me warn people. When your pastor starts the service this way, let us make our beginning. Just take him out for coffee and a piece of pie and say, Pastor, just say what's in the book. The book says, in the name. Which is God doing the verb. He's the one who's putting his name on us once again in the divine service, just like he did at our baptism. And by putting his name on us in the invocation, he is there in our midst to bless us.
And I would suspect that those pastors who use that, let us make our beginning, they don't say, well, let us forgive ourselves when they get then to the confession and absolution.
Right. See, they don't connect the dots that way.
Right.
It's just a silly thing that has crept in, I think, inadvertently, and it's time to brush our teeth on how we do this. Just follow the book.
And so now, following the book in that liturgy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the invocation, Trinitarian there. And then, as I mentioned, in the confession absolution, the absolution, that forgiveness. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because who is it that is absolving sin there?
It's Christ. See, Christ is the center of the articles, you know, first, second, third article of the creed. Christ is the center and heart of it. But yeah, just as I mentioned earlier, when you're baptized in the triune name, he's there doing it. He's doing the baptizing. See, a lot of people have problems with when they come to church in a Lutheran service and hear the pastor say, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. As if the pastor is the one doing it. He's not doing it. He didn't die for anybody. Jesus did. And the pastor just simply there to speak Christ's words in the name of the Trinity, by which then it's the Trinity who's doing the absolving through the words of absolution, you see. He's there, as he promised, to bless us.
So it's not the pastor who baptizes either.
That's right. He's just simply the Lord's instrument, the Lord's hands and mouth to apply the water and speak the words.
That you might hear the name, receive the name, and belong to the name.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so in the liturgy we have the invocation, the confession, absolution, and then next with the introit or the psalm. And normally concluded with the Gloria Patri, the
yes.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Once again, that Trinitarian influence.
Oh, absolutely. Christians are Trinitarians. I repeat, we pray and we talk Trinitarianly. If we don't, we're no longer Christian.
That's non-negotiable?
Exactly. You cannot negotiate this. So, and then you go on the collect of the day, which is the main prayer of the Sunday morning service, ends, you know, usually it's addressed to God the Father. And then it ends, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Father, and with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Notice the one God, yet three persons confessed.
So the God, the Father, who has given his Son to us for our salvation, and that Son whom we would not know except by the working of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, now that same Holy Spirit draws out our petitions to the Father, but this is done through the Son.
Yes, through Jesus Christ.
Father, do this for the sake of Jesus, your Son. And not so, because of us, but because of him.
And we piggyback then on Christ when we pray. I want to say one thing. American Christian clergymen are losing their nerve on praying this way. One example of this is, the 30-day anniversary after 9/11, where in downtown New York City near Ground Zero, the Christian fire chaplain and the Jewish fire chaplain both had a service together in that anniversary. And the Christian fire chaplain didn't pray like he was a Christian. He simply just said, "Oh God," and then leave it up to the rest of you to fill in the blanks about which one that was. Psalm 23 was confessed. Normally when psalms are prayed by Christians, they're always ended, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever." It wasn't done that day.
Folks, when we come back, we'll talk more about how we try to make God in our own image.